So on Memorial Day, it's a time for us to remember. And for some folk, they will not take advantage of this occasion to remember the great sacrifices that have been made. They will try to tear down and decry this nation, this great nation in which we live. We're not perfect. We don't always do the right thing all the time. We never claim to do that, but we certainly have been the savior to many other countries in the world. We have literally set free millions and millions of people in other places because of the actions we have taken in the past. We are a land of freedom. We believe in freedom. And there are many values that we hold dear that are righteous and good and true and admirable. And for these values, we ought to be proud. And as we approach this Memorial Day weekend and its festivities, we remember. There are times to remember. A time to remember. I was thinking about this whole thought of memorials and what they mean and how it applies to us as Christians. And I thought of the verse in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in that second verse. I want to highlight just a phrase. We've heard it many times. It reads like this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that phrase, fixing our eyes on Jesus, because you see, in a time when you remember, a memorial time, you fix your thoughts, your attention on something. And the scripture says we ought to fix our eyes on Jesus. He ought to be the one to whom we look. There's something to be gained by focusing on the life of Christ and what he stands for. There's something beneficial in this. I thought it's appropriate for us to consider that as we are thinking about things of the past. I'm going to give you a very simple sermon this morning on this idea, time to remember. First point is, we memorialize what is important. Did you know that? We memorialize what we think is important. You know, in every one of our lives, you memorialize something. You may not put it in those terms. You may not look at it that way, but there are certain things in your life that you have already memorialized. You already set them up as being special. Something that is important to you. And whenever you think of those events, whenever you think of those occasions, there are fond thoughts. There are things that trigger other thoughts in your memory that you have already a certain orientation and a disposition towards some things that have already happened in your life. There are memorials that you have set up as in your life. They're there. They're not physical places you visit. They're in the recesses of your mind. And I believe we do. We memorialize what's important. Events. Certain events that happen. We memorialize those, and we want to never forget certain events. There are certain people we memorialize. You can travel throughout the world, and you'll see statues of individuals. I find it interesting. From time to time, I'll come across a statue, whether it's here in the United States or on foreign soil, of an individual, and I'll read the name, and to me, the name means nothing. I don't know who it is. I don't know what they did, but it's fascinating that somebody at one time thought they were important enough to erect a monument to that person. And it's kind of curious. Then you wonder, well, what was so great? What did that person do? What was it that caused an individual, a person, or many people to think it was so important that they would erect a monument of this figure that is perhaps unknown to most of the people on the earth, but to a certain segment of the world that they're famous. There's something worthy in the life that they led. There's something worthy about it that they would memorialize that individual in a bronze statue or some kind of a monument that has been erected in their name. So there are events, there are people. And I would ask you today, what events, what people stand as important in your life? What is it that you have memorialized? Because memorials reflect what we value. Just remember that. Memorials reflect what we value. Just as memorials in society reflect what a society values. Isn't it interesting that many of you saw that moment in time in the endeavors over there in Iraq, when that great monument of their leader, I saw that rope that was thrown around his neck, and I saw them yanking and pulling on that thing, and at first it looked like, why, this is a task that it's just not going to happen. And all of a sudden, that great monument that stood there in that circle there over in that distant land of Iraq, all of a sudden it began to bend, and you watch, and then some others came along and gave a talk. Before you know it, that great monument that was erected there, and oh, I can't imagine anybody trying to do that in the day in which that regime was in power. And can you imagine, and here it was, all of a sudden, that huge monument that was erected to one man, his likeness, memorialized. And then it came tumbling to the ground, and one of the first things they did was try to cut the head off of that monument. Speaks volumes, doesn't it, of a change that took place. What was important to one segment, certain folks, all of a sudden, wasn't so important to others. You see, monuments, they reflect what we think are important, and it may or may not be what others think are important. Monuments throughout our nation's capital, I think of the great monuments there, the Washington Memorial, the Lincoln, Jefferson Memorials, all those great edifices that have been erected in our nation's capital. And you go and you stand there, and there's an interesting feeling oftentimes. If you ponder, now if you're a foreigner to this country, it wouldn't seize you, but having lived in this country and enjoyed the freedoms that we have, in a moment of time, you may not know all the particulars, but there's something that seems to come over you as you stand in those places. It's almost like it's hallowed ground for our nation, because we have memorialized certain individuals because of what they stood for, the things they accomplished that allowed us to be the nation that we are. And you stand there. And it's an interesting experience, because oftentimes I've been in some of those places, such as the Lincoln Memorial, when there were scores of others around and loud and talking. But all of a sudden, if I will focus on those words that are there on that wall, that monument, and being there and seeing that magnificent statue that is there of Lincoln, and all of a sudden, in my own world, I've kind of closed myself in, I get a certain feeling of the awesomeness of being at that place, at that moment, to reflect on the greatness of this one individual and what it has meant, not just for us individually in our nation, but what it has meant to the world. You just get that overwhelming sense of pride and just something very special about it. There are certain monuments that move you that way. Isn't that so? Think of the war memorials. World War II, the Korean and Vietnam. And I remember when they were deciding, what shall we do for the Vietnam veterans? Because, you know, a lot of memorials, you try to make them very elegant and decorative. And they came up with this idea, just a long black marble wall just stretching along that area there in the promenade, and they would etch the names of each one on this marble wall. And when they were in the process of building it, if you recall, they had kind of a mini one that they had erected, because they wanted folks out in the various parts of the country that wouldn't be able to get to Washington, because the war had affected so many in our land. And they had this model of the wall that was traveling around the country, and they would drive into communities across the land, small ones and large ones, and they would drive up it's amazing the effect it had on communities. It was almost like a reverence would settle in. You wouldn't have an occasion where there's a lot of laughter and all the kinds of things that go on at certain kinds of events that you would have, like when a carnival comes to town. It wasn't that at all. It was like an awesome, almost a holy hush that would come across people as they would just stand in front of a black wall with names. And it had a profound effect on our nation. And that was just the model. And then to actually go to our nation's capital and to see that, I don't know, but what maybe it's the idea of the great numbers of the fallen. Unknown to us personally, you might find one or two names on it of people that you knew died in that great conflict. But for the most part, they are unknown to most of us. And there's not just a few, but there are thousands of names, men and women, who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free. Monuments like that are moving. Moving. Something about that. I think of the occasions when you see the plane as it flies in and it sets down, and word has come that there's a fallen soldier that's being returned home. And then you see that great door, the plane come down, and you watch, and on either side of a flag-draped casket, there are those in uniform. And in time, in a certain cadence, together, they march down that ramp, carrying that casket, and bringing it to its final place where other family and friends will be able to reflect and think. And that becomes a memorial of sorts, for in that moment, there are a lot of thoughts that think back of what that means. And we as a nation, it means something to us also, because we all think, reflect, what does it mean to be patriotic? What does it mean to hold dear and fond thoughts of your homeland? What does it mean? How does it move you? And I have to admit, at times, I will witness scenes like that, not knowing who it is or anything about the individual, but I cannot help myself. Sometimes a tear will begin to form and fall from my face because it brings back to me thoughts of what it means to live in this country. See, memorials are powerful, aren't they? Images like that are powerful. And so we memorialize what is important. And we also memorialize so that we will not forget the price for freedom, those who have died in the line of duty. There's a place in our national cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. We oftentimes refer to it as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But really, technically, it's the Tomb of the Unknowns, commonly referred to as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's never been officially named as the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, as some think. The Tomb of the Unknowns stands atop a hill overlooking Washington. It was on March the 4th, 1921, that Congress approved the burial of an unidentified American soldier from World War I in the plaza of the new memorial amphitheater there. It's a white marble sarcophagus. It has a flat-faced form, and it's relieved at the corners and along the sides by neoclassic pilasters or columns set into the surface. And Sculpted into the east panel, which faces Washington, D.C., are three Greek figures, and they represent peace, victory, and valor. It was placed, sarcophagus was placed above the grave of an unknown soldier of World War I. And west of this are the crypts of unknowns from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And those three graves are marked with white marble slabs flush with the plaza. And I've been there at Arlington, and I've stood there. And again, I have to say there is something that overcomes you, it overwhelms you as you stand there and you think of that person, that solitary person that represents many that have fallen, unknown to man but known to God. And again, you get that feeling, the importance of memorials. Well, God calls his people to remember. God calls his people to remember. We have the cross, that symbol that oftentimes calls us every time we see it. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated by the places in which I see the cross. Have you ever thought about it? It's not only in church. You see the cross almost everywhere today. People wear the cross as jewelry. I mean, people that really aren't real religious, they'll wear the cross as an earring and a necklace, and I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but I mean, they'll just kind of wear it as some type of jewelry. Oftentimes, they're engaged in activity that I think is rather unbecoming, and yet they're still wearing that cross. And, you know, I don't know what it means to them, but whenever I see it, it does mean something to me. It means something to me. I can't help myself, but I wonder at times, maybe that person really does know the Lord. Maybe that person really secretly loves God or wants to love. I like to think that way because of what the cross means to me. What it means to me. God calls us to remember. Not only do we memorialize what's important in our memorials there because we don't ever want to forget, but God calls us to remember several things. First of all, God wants us to remember where we came from. Whenever I think of the cross, it reminds us where we came from. Perhaps where we would be without him. Just think of that. Ask yourself the question today. If you had never heard the gospel of Jesus, where would you be today? You certainly wouldn't be here listening to me this morning. You'd be somewhere, but you wouldn't be here. Where would you be if you'd never heard about Jesus? Not only are we called to remember where we came from, but we're called to remember what he's done for us. And I bring you back to that passage in Hebrews, fixing our eyes on Jesus, remembering him, fixing our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, and notice this, endured the cross, despising the shame. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Enduring the cross is enough in itself, but also despising the shame. That the Son of God would be subjected to the things he was subjected to, all because of man's sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took upon us our sins. That must have been excruciating in itself. To be the Son of God and then have to be the sin sacrifice and take on the sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That moment in time had to have been unbearable. Despising the shame. Not only are we called to remember where we came from and what Christ has done for us, but we are called to remember, I believe, what others have done for us. In all of our lives, there's somebody. There's someone God has sent. There's someone God has used. None of us are here just simply because we're here on our own. Oh, no. Somebody somewhere did something. Somebody placed a Bible somewhere. Somebody handed out a tract. Somebody spoke a word of encouragement. Somebody preached a word. Somebody taught. Somebody influenced you in some way. And I think God wants us to remember that. That we don't live on our own. We don't live to ourselves. And those words, no man is an island. Listen, that is true in a real sense, in a biblical sense. We are here because somebody cared enough. Somebody's heart was touched. Somebody was motivated. Somebody was called. Somebody ministered. And so we are where we are today. See, memorials in our past. I don't know who those individuals are, but some of you right now, you can visualize who those people are. You see them clearly. Those in your life that have ministered to you in such a way that have brought you to where you are today in the Lord. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. It's a powerful verse. Remember them. Remember those who have brought you to this point. Don't forget them. I think that's important. We, as human creatures, we like to kind of focus our thoughts. We kind of like to attach them to something. That's why pagan people, they want idols. There's a spiritual hunger in the pagan heart. And they want it satisfied. So what do? They erect something physical so that they can attach that emotion to it. We have people in our lives that we oftentimes can look to. And that's what keeps us going. I remember the faithfulness of this person. I remember their faithfulness. I remember how they love God. And we remember them and we think about them. And it encourages us in those difficult times when we need encouragement. So not only should we remember where we came from, what the Lord has done for us, what others have done for us, but we ought to also keep in focus, clear focus, what lies ahead for us. Hebrews 12 verse 3 says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Why? Because there's a reward that awaits us. What is that reward? Well, the scripture describes it in many ways. There are many verses you could look to as to what the reward is. It pays to serve God. Foolish is the person who says, I will live the way I want to live and give no thought of tomorrow. They do not know what they are sacrificing. They would sacrifice the glory and the rewards of heaven for temporal pleasure on this earth. They do not know what they sacrifice. They would sacrifice their soul. They would do that, not knowing what awaits us. Revelation 22, and you could point to different passages, but in this passage in Revelation 22 with verse 12 and following, it says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. You and I, we are going to be judged and rewarded according to what we have done. You could ask the question right here if you stopped and say, what have I done? Oh, what have I done? And some of us would woefully shake our heads and say, dear Lord, I hope it's not just on that. And you thinking of something. Thank God for God's grace. There's the grace of God. Because hopefully there's other things you've done that are noteworthy. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Notice that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. I was thinking about this. Isn't that interesting? That you and I gained the right to the tree of life. That which God protected, shielded from Adam and Eve. Remember the story? Remember? Go back to the Garden of Eden. Remember the story? Remember they partake of the fruit of one tree and they were shielded from another, kept away from another? Guess what? That which was forbidden to man in the fallen state, all of a sudden, that's part of the reward in heaven. We gain access to what God kept from fallen man. That's what it says. Part of the reward is that you're going to have access to what? The tree of life. And why is that significant? Because you're going to live forever. If you don't have access to the tree of life, you're not going to live forever. Quite simply, that's what it is. You're going to die in your sin, and you're going to be punished accordingly, and you'll suffer accordingly. God has all that in mind. But part of your reward for serving God and being faithful and not giving up and persevering, even when it's difficult, the enemy would damn your soul, and yet you faithfully serve God, and you say, I'm not going to let go of my faith in Christ. He is my source. He is my link to the tree of life. Tree of life. He says, I'm coming with my reward. Jesus is coming. I'm going to bring the reward with me to render to every man according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are dogs and sorcerers, the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. People who do all those things, they're not in heaven. Where are they? They're outside. And then it goes on to say, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. God is calling people to him. There's a great reward that awaits us. We think back to what Jesus did, but what he did in the past and what we may have memorialized in various ways and what we have done here this morning, we remember the Lord, but it points to the future. Points to the future. So our memorials that we have erected in our lives, our spiritual memorials, point not just to the past. They point to our future. Our future. This is a time to remember. Time to remember. And I pray that Jesus and what he's done for us at Calvary, that is central in your thinking. On this Memorial Day, one of the heartwarming things to witness is that though one may stand by a gravesite with tears of sorrow, and then the thought crosses the mind, but this was a child of God. And though this warrior now lies beneath the ground, absent from our presence, a life that is gone, extinguished, because they served God, we will see them again. And we will see every person that we have memorialized in one way or another, everyone that lived their lives for God, we're going to see them again. Memorials aren't just for reflection on the past. It can give us bright hope for what awaits us in the future. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Jesus, Lord, on this day, as we think about those who have gone before us, particularly those in the military and those who have fought on foreign soil in defense of freedom, and we have grateful hearts, O God, for these men and women who have laid down their lives. And Lord, undoubtedly there's going to be sadness in the hearts of many of the families of these fallen soldiers. We pray that, God, your comfort might come to those who are bereaved. Perhaps even this very day, there may be some who give their life for freedom. So we pray for those who remain. We pray that the comfort of God might help those who mourn. We pray for those who have faced disaster in one way or another. And Lord, they're thinking of their loved ones who have been caught up in another type of disaster and conflict and of a natural sort. And we pray, Lord, for them. And we ask, dear God, that you might help us. Help us to hold on to those things that are true and right, those things that are eternal, those things that are going to last for time and for eternity. There are earthly memorials that will crumble and fall, but there are spiritual ones that we can erect in our lives that can help us today and in the days ahead and until your coming. Your word declares that we need to hold fast and be faithful and true, that you are coming with your reward for the saints. Lord, help us to have courage. Help our faith to grow. Help us, O God, to continue to serve you, looking for your glorious coming. And touch our hearts today, if there be even one this morning here who has not been as faithful as they ought to be. Oh God, I just pray for them. I ask that your love and your grace and your mercy would be revealed to them. And may they feel your divine concern. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring them back to that place where they ought to be. As we prepare to leave this place, oh God, I ask that we might go with your divine benediction upon us. Help us to be your servants. May we reflect your grace and your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great Lord's Day. And in all your celebrations, don't forget him. Remember him this weekend. God bless you. And all